Welcome to Across the Margin, the podcast. I'm your host, Michael Shields. Across the Margin, the podcast is a proud member of the Osiris Media Group. Check out all their podcasts, all their live events, everything they got going on over at osirispod.com. Today, I present an interview with Jen Rainin and Rivka Beth Meadow, co-directors of the critically acclaimed documentary Ahead of the Curve, which chronicles the career of lesbian rights icon Franco Stevens, who launched Curve, the best-selling lesbian magazine ever published. Against the hostile backdrop of hate crimes and family rejection in the 1990s, with few celebrities or politicians willing to be out publicly, Curve magazine dared to celebrate a full, inclusive range of lesbians, queer women, and non-binary people, seeding some of the most pressing conversations around LGBTQ plus community today. As a result of her journey with the film, Franco started the Curve Foundation, the only national nonprofit celebrating lesbian and queer women's culture and stories. To ensure this community is seen and valued, the Curve Foundation is championing Lesbian Visibility Week with events across the country. Netflix makes a strong statement about its values by supporting this effort with the release of Ahead of the Curve at the start of Lesbian Visibility Week 2024. And that release is April 22nd. Growing up, Franco never saw any representation of queer women. She didn't even know it was possible for a woman to be gay. When she realized she was a lesbian, it changed the course of her life. In 1990, Franco created a safe place for lesbians in the form of Curve magazine. Her approach to threats and erasure in the 90s was to highlight all kinds of LGBTQ plus women and make them beautifully visible. The magazine helped build the foundation for the movements being led by today's queer activists. So in this episode, Jen, Rivka, and I dig deeply into what the existence of Curve meant to lesbians and the lesbian community while marveling about the obstacles and adversities Franco navigated bringing Curve to life. We discuss the controversy and complexities surrounding the word lesbian, a dispute concerning the name of the magazine which almost brought the publication down, the important work of the Curve Foundation, and ultimately, we celebrate the profoundly inspiring legacy of Franco Stevens and the magazine she created, which meant so much to countless people. While this podcast and the documentary focus on the greatness of Franco Stevens and her work, I'd like to point out that Jen and Rivka are both also inspiring human beings who do amazing work for human rights and equality in many realms. Their work as executive producers and directors is focused on building community, deepening understanding of social justice issues, and telling great stories. It was a thrill to talk to them both. Please check out all the work the Curve Foundation is doing at curvefoundation.org. And I'm so excited for you to see Ahead of the Curve premiering again April 22nd on Netflix. Check it out. It's fantastic. Learn more about it and Franco Stevens' amazing story in this interview with Jen Rainin and Rivka Beth Meadow.
Across the margin. Podcast.
Well, cool. Well, thank you both. I really, really appreciate it. I love the doc. It's completely inspiring. There's so much fun things to talk about. So thank you for taking the time to talk about it with me.
Oh, we're so happy to be here.
All right, cool. Thank you. I think a really, really fun and important place to start is kind of just diving into or hearing your thoughts about what the existence of Curve meant to lesbians and the lesbian community, because I knew about the mag, but I was really floored and touched by some of the people talking about what it meant to them. So I'd love to hear you talk about that.
With so much pleasure.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the most fun and moving things about making this film was getting to talk with so many women in the community who came up with the magazine, who, you know, we have more stories than I can count of women who say, you know, I waited for it to come out every month, and I would drive an hour to the nearest big town that had a Barnes and Noble, and I would go and I would, find another magazine to put it inside of so nobody would see me, and I would, read it in the corner, or I would bravely go up and buy it, and hearing people talk about how incredibly powerful it was to see themselves reflected in a glossy magazine, just like all of the straight women had, all the Franco talks about it too. I mean, that was part of her inspiration was, look, my mom and my sisters had so many glossy women's magazines that talked about all different kinds of ways of being in the world, except for gay women. And so to have that experience reflected was really reaffirming, and it helped, I think, a lot of women feel much less alone in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that moment where a woman who saw Linda Valorosa, I think is the name, on the cover, and just, I mean, that really got me. And I'm sure you come upon that all the time. It wasn't easy to for Franco to bring this magazine to life. Some of those struggles were really, really intense to see. The financials were really, really fun. What were some of the challenges she faced as she decided to bring this magazine into existence?
Oh my goodness, Rivka, I swear to apologize up front. It seems like it's going to be a lot of me talking while you're in your car office.
Anytime
I'm
anyone wants
so
to
okay with it. I am
jump
so good with
in.
that. Yeah, it's fine. I'll speak really because that Jen and Frank are married, right?
Yeah, that's what, yeah, of course, I do.
So
I do.
yeah, great. So yeah, so I'll talk whenever it makes sense, and I'm totally fine. I love listening to Jen, and I've been working together for several years now. We've known each other since 2011,
Oh, cool.
and have been friends and good friends. And then at the end of 2017, I was lucky enough to get to finally say yes to this project, and so we've been really working together since then. So yeah, but back to your question.
Is this the first time you've worked together, though, on a project like this, a documentary, or working as
Ahead of
co-director?
the curve.
Yeah.
Ahead of the curve. Yeah, that's the first time we made a film together, and it was incredible, and it was honest, and it tested us in a lot of ways, and we came out really much stronger and closer, and discovered we're both really mission driven and wanted to make many, many more films that center strong queer women and non-binary people. So we made a company that does just that. So anyway, back to your question.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm great to, glad to hear that, this collaboration is going to continue, and telling these stories is going to continue. That's awesome. But yes, the struggles to bring the magazine to life.
Wow. Well, I think the first big one was she was 20 and living in her car, and had n no money and no support from her family at that time. That's since completely changed, but yeah, it was, and zero experience, zero idea how to put together a magazine, So she just, I mean, really, the word chutzpah rings in my ears when I think about this punk kid who thought, well, geez, there's nothing like this out there, and there should be, and nobody else is going to do it, so I'm going to do it. But no, like going to the banks and being laughed at, nobody, they weren't very nice to her. They weren't going to be giving her any money at all. She went out and tried to, she thought, well, this is such a great idea. Of course, women in the community will fund it. I'll go find what she called at the time rich lesbians. And by rich, she meant employed lesbians who would surely give up their hard-earned cash to let this young woman make this dream magazine. And that, I think at the time, the community was so used to not having anything nice, that they couldn't even picture it. So they didn't help in the beginning.
Yeah, the story about going to the horse racetrack is just amazing. That's how it all played out, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. Who does that? Who takes out, I mean, pre-internet, of course, you could
Yeah.
take out 12 credit cards in one day and cash them out.
The
And but
detail.
then who goes to the racetrack and bets on the horses?
Again and again, detailing bikes, motorcycles outside of bars, the whole thing. It's the Huspa. It's perfectly put. Also, just traveling to all the pride events throughout the country. I mean, she was going for it. It's so inspiring to me.
Well, and she didn't just travel to the Pride events, right? She traveled, she understood she was in San Francisco, right? Which was, I mean, San Francisco in the early 90s was kind of a mecca for queer people, LGBTQ plus people. Just really, I mean, a lot of people came out just to be in that area and drove across the country because it felt much safer. But Franco and her crew were really aware that there were so many other women spread across the country in places where it wasn't safe to be out, and there'd be like one women's bookstore or, you know, one queer bar. And so they would take those trips all through the South and the Midwest and bring the magazine to the women and create a space to gather, which is really,
Important.
it was forward thinking. It was also a blast. I mean, they were having a really good time doing that too. So, yeah.
Deserve that good time and going out after all putting in all the hard work. I think that's interesting to think about too. I think some younger listeners or younger viewers of the doc might not have a full grasp of what it was like coming out in the 80s. I mean, we have the experience where she came out to her family, her husband, and he kind of stole that moment from her and all that. But I mean, that was definitely a different time to be gay in America. And so, yeah,
Sure.
I was wondering if you had any thoughts or things to say about that.
You know, I yes, it was a different time, and yes, there are so many. We had heard some statistic. It's something like one in six Gen Z folks are identifying as queer. Like that's, we could not have imagined that in the 90s. It's fantastic that so many people feel safe enough to do that now, and there are still a lot of places where it's not safe in this country. You know, even in California, you know, just taking the film to small towns, we hear, I mean, you hear these stories. We heard the one that we actually put in the film with the college student who said, you know, when I came out to my mother, she told me that she would rather have aborted me than to have me be gay now. Like that's still happening.
Definitely. I think, I mean, that's why it's still so important to mention. I focus on that because that's kind of where Franco came up in, and it's unbelievable and shows how brave it was to be in the magazine. But that's not, get it twisted, it's not safe to be a lesbian in places in America now, and there's so much work to be done. You really get into that as the doc goes on too. There was an interesting conversation about the word lesbian, which I learned a lot about. And there's a bit of a controversy there, people kind of owning the word. There was team queer versus team lesbian. Can you tell us some about that? Because I that was eye-opening to me in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's that was one of the big conversations we had in my house when we were starting to make the film. My wife Franco was saying, you know, do people even use the word lesbian anymore? Are is the mission of the magazine even relevant? Like who identifies as what now? It's all changing so much. And we really thought actually that the use of the word lesbian was disappearing. And fascinatingly, going across the country, it really depended on where we were, but geographically. But there were a lot of young women reclaiming the word lesbian, which was very heartening to all of us. But really, I think the thing that I was so struck by and so thrilled by was the myriad ways that people now feel comfortable to identify. The different words, I mean, I get that it can be frustrating, all those letters, and we have made fun of a lot for all those letters. But we're in such an expansive period right now where people are feeling a little bit more safe to be out and to explore the identities that resonate with them. And so, yeah, we're trying on lots of different words. I think it's thrilling, actually.
No, I love hearing that. It was interesting, and it was interesting to look at the reasons people were, really loved having the word. It really gave them power in certain ways, and then other people saw it. You could see both sides, how, it was co-opted by men in some ways, and the inclusivity thing. And it's very fascinating to explore. The name controversy that comes up, the magazine name controversy, has to be spoken on here. Really, really interesting. So where did Franco get the name for the magazine? And also it's very interesting to talk about how they overcame that obstacle of that name controversy. So where did it all begin?
Oh yeah, that name almost took her down. Right, just to be super transparent here. I'm married to this person. She trusts me more than she trusts anybody in the world. I do not know. I am not confident that I know the story. I hear, but I don't really know. So, but that was what part of the fun, was going around and saying, okay, you won't tell me? Great. Well, then maybe all your people will. And we were sh frankly shocked when we started asking people
Lot of
where
different answers.
her cat? What?
Counselor at one point.
That part was so much fun because she had told everyone a slightly different story, right? And it was just great to like elicit all of those different versions of what might have been the origin. She's really, really savvy, right?
I have to create that mystery there. There's something special about that there. And then a huge celebrity actress comes in and is upset about the name.
Yes, she didn't like that.
Yeah, she didn't.
Well, in this case, if for the lesbian magazine, she didn't like that.
That's right.
But, there were other instances of her name on it, like I think a construction company, and that was fine, didn't go
Not for
after
that.
that use of her name. But
Yes, there's
yeah.
a that construction company that you're talking about, I think it's still in existence. And it explicitly says on the website, we named it after Catherine Deneuve.
Oh, really? They actually put it out there, and
Oh,
she's
yeah.
talking about that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she doesn't have any problem with that.
It was super inspiring to see the fight to keep the magazine alive after that, though. How was she able to kind of weather that storm?
That is such a great question. I actually still don't know how she managed to
Still
pull it
at
off
all.
because not only was she facing the end of the magazine, and she was out of money. She was afraid. She was there was she had built up this incredible brand over 5 years, and all of a sudden that was being ripped away. And but also her dad was dying.
Oh, wow.
It was the hardest moment in her life. She and her dad were very, very close. And we don't talk about that in the film, but that was a 1-2 punch for her, for
Been
sure.
so much to
And
deal with.
she dug really deep and, really thought hard about it. Do I want to, why am I doing this? And I think really the truth is, I think that she looked around the community and she said, oh my God, you know what? This actually isn't really about me. This is about all of these women who, for the first time, many of them feel connected to some to a culture, to a lineage, to a community that they need me to continue. So I
Definitely.
think that's it. That's what drove
Yeah,
her
she
forward.
had a bigger calling and mission, and probably felt responsibility there. It was beautiful to see, at the fundraiser, all the celebrities and then musicians coming out. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. You mentioned that hard moment in her life. The accident's a big part of Franco's life and story. How did that injury affect her and affect the magazine? That's a loaded question, but anything you want to say about kind of the direction it steered, maybe the magazine's a good place to point that question.
Well, it made it much, much harder for her to run the magazine. She was dealing with tremendous amounts of pain that increased after every surgery. And, you know, when you're in real pain, to be able to focus on anything else is shockingly hard. I really don't know. People tend to put her up on a pedestal. They picture her as a superhero, and sometimes I really understand why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she described it perfectly with that like scissor analogy. That was deeply disturbing, but it's just it was putting into perspective what she was dealing with and how it would be so challenging to concentrate to keep this fight going, and yet she did. And she still cares so much about the magazine now, even though it's changed hands. You could tell she's, you know, struggling with the idea of is it needed today? Should it still exist? What do you think about that? Do you guys feel it is needed today, or what's its place today?
I think we can talk a little bit about what its place really is. And yeah. So it is a little bit of a spoiler, of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping everyone who's hearing us talk about these certain moments, it's just so beautiful to see it play out in your documentary. And these are just really... Mm-hmm. There's, like I said, this is anything that we talk about. These are just kind of smaller pieces to this bigger picture that you paint so vividly. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we really got very clear in the making of the film, and Franco got very clear that while the mission of the magazine is still critically important, there are still so many women who need to feel connected, who need to feel seen and valued for their contributions to society. It's so frustrating, I think, that we're still not well represented in the world. Mm. And there are people who are actively working to erase our stories,
absolutely,
to ban our stories, to delete our stories. When you don't see a particular group, a marginalized group, when you don't see them, it's very easy to discriminate against them. So if you think you don't know any lesbians because nobody's out in your town, because you don't see any characters on TV shows or movies, you don't, there's no famous lesbian anybody, then it feels like you have nothing in common with lesbians. It's very easy to just take away their rights, because who cares? Who are they anyway? We don't know who they are. It is still, and maybe even more important now, to have our stories told. Do they need to be told in a magazine? I don't think so. And I think that's where Franco landed as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I love the idea presented in the documentary that LGBTQ rights are immigrant rights. They're Black and brown people rights. They're disability rights. And I think the magazine was it talked a little bit about the shortcomings, but overall it's super inclusive. It was kind of on the forefront of trans rights as well. I'd love to hear just some thoughts about how this isn't, you know, that it is mean rights for so many people, that it was celebrating so many people and working for so many people.
I mean, I'll take this one a little bit. I think there's a especially humans often put people into understandable categories, and they sort of wall off those identities and forget that those are, many of us have overlapping identities, and many people, those identities aren't separable, and the people contained within, an identity, an LGBTQ plus identity, or a BIPOC identity, or a person who identifies as with a disability, those are inseparable. They're not a monolith inside of those communities either. People look and present in all different kinds of ways. And so the magazine really worked to represent people as they wanted to be represented, and to use language, at the time that was, understandable, and the ways in which people wanted to present themselves. I think that, that carries over today. And part of why Franco's work is still so relevant and people have rallied around is because you know exactly what Jen was just saying, that if people don't see us and other people representing themselves and coming out and being present, being visible, then it is much easier to erase, discriminate against, to reduce, to other. And you know what you then what yeah then what happens is, you know, what we see, like, I think there's something crazy, like 400 and, I don't know, what is it this year already, 450. It's April. It was just Trans Visibility Week. I think there were like 450 bills already introduced, anti-trans bills in like state legislatures. That's, and when we were making the film, you know, we thought it was crazy. There were like, I don't know, a little under 400 bills, anti-LGBTQ plus bills introduced that year. It's just exponentially increased. So yeah, there's still a huge need to tell our stories. And while I think Kim Cattrall says, you know, visibility doesn't equal safety, which is true. However, if we can be more visible, we can work toward more safety for everyone.
Incredibly, incredibly well said. Can you tell us some about the Curve Foundation and maybe how people can help or get involved in any way?
Yeah, the Curve Foundation is what came after the film. It's what Franco decided to do once she realized, oh, okay, so it is, the mission is definitely still relevant, but the magazine needs to shift. So she reacquired the magazine and donated it to a nonprofit that she created with me, called the Curve Foundation. It is the only national nonprofit that champions LGBTQ plus women and non-binary people's stories and culture. That's us.
That's great.
So it's super thrilling. We have a bunch of different programs. We've been doing it now for about 3 years. We support journalists who tell our stories. We host events and conversations, intergenerational conversations, to ensure that the wisdom that has been learned over years is passed on to the next generation, and that the next generation who brings so much insight and new understanding to the issues that we're all dealing with, they're able to pass their wisdom the other way. So one of the things that I'm super excited about is that the Curve Foundation is now hosting Lesbian Visibility Week for the United States.
Wow.
Lesbian, I know, it's so, it's kind of a big project.
Bravo. Bravo. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, you can check out all the events. It's coming right up. It's April 22nd to 28th.
Okay.
And if you
That's
go
right
to
when the documentary
Lesbian,
comes out too, right? That'll be on
it
that
is
second. Yeah,
exactly
it's all
magically, yes.
happening.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Netflix, I
Yeah.
think Netflix is making a pretty powerful statement about their own values by programming ahead of the curve. And other lesbian films, starting right around this time of year, which is really exciting to see.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen them do that before. That's really, really, really cool. To bring us home, I'd love to hear, gives us a chance to maybe wax poetic a little bit about but who you describe as a superhero, but which I totally agree with after watching this doc. But what do you think, or maybe hope, Franco's ultimate legacy is, or the legacy of the magazine? And obviously it's still being written, and it's just, the work is continues and she's still out there. But kind of what do you hope that legacy is, or what do you hope the takeaway from the doc is? I'd love to hear both of you talk about that a little.
Yeah, Rivka, do you want to take that first? I need a second with
Oh, man.
that. I think, I mean, there's, you know, when I think about, I want you to talk about, you know, what Franco would want. In terms of from the documentary, it's We hope people leave with a better understanding of the 90s and what LGBTQ plus women did to help build culture. What Franco and her crew, as Franco's the first one to say, she wasn't the only one doing this work. There are so many incredible women. You see Jewel Gomez, you see Kate Kendall, you see lots of women that we interview, and Paige Hodel. And then you see, the women carrying it forward, right? We feature three of them, Andrea Pino Silva, Kim Katrin, and Denise Froman. But there's so many people doing this incredible work. So I think that's hopefully people, after they watch this film, feel inspired to learn even more and about our history. And then what's happening now in the world of queer women and non-binary people?
Absolutely.
And then Franco's legacy.
I mean, it's such an interesting question. We've been thinking a lot about legacy in our family lately, so it's really timely for us. I think, personally, I think she wants to make sure that that the people coming up today understand and feel connected to a much larger group of wonderful, powerful women. Understand that they matter. Feel like they're valued in our culture. I think that's what I think she really wants. This is a woman who created, I mean, it sounds trite in a way. Well, she made a magazine. Making that magazine was a political statement. It was a monumental effort. And for people to know that, to understand how far we've come and what we're still struggling with, we think that would make her feel pretty good.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
much, much bigger than a magazine. That's for sure. The movie's very inspiring. It's beautiful. It's something that I loved learning more about, and it does inspire me, like you're saying, Rivka, to learn more about everything that's going on, that has gone on. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it and spread the word some. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And if anyone is interested to see what she's up to now,
Yes.
check out Franco's work at thecurvefoundation.org, or the Lesbian Visibility events at Lesbian Visibility USA. Oh, sorry, Lesbian Visibility Week USA.com. And come out and meet us. That's one thing that Franco loves most of all, I think, is actually meeting folks in the community. Come on out and say hi anytime. Drop us a line.
So cool. So cool.
Totally, totally. And check us out on Netflix April 22nd and after. Yeah, and tell all your friends.
Awesome. Spread the word, everybody. Thank you, guys. Really
Thank you,
appreciate
Russell. What a
it.
joy, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.